Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Yeah, thanks for being here this morning. Before I get going, I think in our time of worship, I was carrying Reuben and I was like chopping and changing because he's getting to that point where he's too heavy. And just in that moment, just felt God say, just show me a picture of the fact that, you know, he carries us. We don't get too heavy for him. There's nothing too heavy in our lives that he can't carry, and he carries the weight of the whole world on his shoulders, and he doesn't get weighed down by it, but he actually stands up, and he's risen from the dead from that. So I just want to encourage, for whoever that was, just wanted to share that, and that's not my message, but just wanted to, it's a freebie, as Michael would say. Just wanted to reflect on what we've come out of in the last kind of month. We've kind of set aside time to really press into God and to have space to pray and worship God and just to really seek him. And I just wanted to reflect on what are we doing to make what has happened in that last month part of our everyday? Do we need to be coming more expectant on our Sundays, and do we need to be going into our days more expectant of who God is and what he will do in our midst when we come to him? And, you know, Lester shared on behalf of Colleen of looking at God and seeing how great he is. And I think we really need to be looking at that and reflecting on that and actually seeing who God is for who he is. And that's what I wanted to touch on a little bit this morning. So before I do that, how about we pray? Heavenly Father, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us together. Wherever we're at, thank you that you meet us, Lord God, when we call upon you. Father, pray that you would just really open our hearts this morning, Lord God, and give us eyes to see and ears to hear your word to us. And Father, pray that anything that is of me, that it would fall to the ground and your words would just really take root, Lord God, and grow and bear fruit in our lives. Father, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As I was looking into what God would want for this morning, I was led to Matthew 13, 53 to 58. If you want to grab your Bibles and turn to that, it says the following. Got it? Good. So Matthew 13, 53 to 58. It says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown. He began teaching to the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in their own towns and in their own homes are prophets without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So leading up to this point where Jesus goes to his hometown and preaches in the synagogues and teaches there, he had been speaking to a large crowd, or large crowds. He was in a boat and the large crowds were on the shore, and he was speaking to them in parables, and he goes through a whole bunch of parables about the kingdom of God and who will inherit it. And there are a couple of times where he doesn't explain it to the people, but he actually explains it a couple of times to the disciples who are with him in verses 18 and 37. And he explains what they are. In Matthew 13 to 15, I think there's a key verse which we'll hold on to as we kind of explore a little bit. The disciples ask Jesus, why are you speaking to them in parables? And this is Jesus' reply. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Those who have will be given more, and they will have an abundance. As for those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. I think that's important to hold on to, even though it's in that moment Jesus is speaking about why these people might not be saved because of their hardened hearts, seeing but not understanding, hearing but not perceiving. It's important for us in our faith and for people who've come into a relationship with God, I think, to remember that we don't go into the everyday with eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear. It's very easy for us to kind of get caught up in the everyday of life, even though we might have moments or even though we might have a month where we're concentrating on God. When we lose focus of that, it's very easy for us to not hear and see God in the everyday because we allow the everyday to take over. If we go back to 53 to 58, just want to focus on that. So Jesus finishes the parables and he moves to his hometown and he stops. So speaking in parables, when he gets to his hometown, he actually teaches plainly in the synagogue, and it's kind of inferred in the way that it's written throughout the passages because he's speaking in parables before that. And they were amazed, not because of his teaching, but because of who they thought they knew him to be, as a carpenter's son, as this local person's son, and these were his brothers and sisters. So why is he speaking like this? Or what authority does he have? Or where has he learnt this? Verses 55 to 57, they question and they're offended that Jesus would be the one teaching them in their synagogues. And it's not the first time that Jesus has come to his hometown and they've taken offense or been treated like this. And Jesus' reply in 57 is, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home." And 58, no miracles were done because of their lack of faith. It's that what Jesus says in that passage of a prophet is not without honor except in his own town or in his own home. We have to be careful not to become too familiar with Jesus, that we forget of his awe and power and of his greatness, as Lester reminded us this morning. So Colossians 1:15-18 describes Jesus Christ as this: "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." In him all things hold together. "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." If we are to believe that this is the, and trust and have faith in that this is the who is Lord over our lives, Jesus Christ, the one who is the beginning and the end, and in whom all things were created, and for whom all things were created, then surely he is worthy of our honor and praise. Every day, every moment, not just at the end of a service for a given period of time, and then we go step out the doors and we get on with our lives. We have to be careful not to become so familiar with God and Jesus that we stop wanting to know him. Familiarity doesn't mean that you know someone. You know about them. You know of them a little bit or through what other people say. But to know someone is to be in intimate relationship where you are in constant contact with them. That's through prayer. I was at a meeting yesterday morning, and it was about looking at what the strategic plan of the churches are for prayer in this city, and reminded that when God did things, he did them in in a city, in the center of everything, so that people would see His glory. And we're reminded that if that's to happen, then we actually have to be seeking God endlessly, fervently, pursuing Him. So in our everyday, do we reduce God to less than what He is? Do we reduce Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to less than who He is by how we treat Him, how we look to Him? Do we go to Him as this magical genie who we only go to when we need something answered, we only need a prayer answered, when we're in a struggle or where, you know, not things aren't going the way we want, so we, you know, take Jesus off the shelf, give Him a bit of a dust off and kind of go, Jesus, I need You today. In preparing for this, I feel that this is maybe for someone and would love to chat with you afterwards or pray with you afterwards if this is for you, but sometimes Jesus is only taken off the shelf during Christmas and Easter. But I just felt God say that He desires to seek you more than that. He desires to know you more than that, than beyond just Christmas and Easter, but He's the God of forever. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God of now. He's the God who wants to meet you where you're at in your circumstance, and not just when the world in its own way seems to celebrate Him or recognize Him. We need to see Jesus Christ for who He is and not what He can do, because He does it anyway. Stop chasing the miracles and chase the miracle worker. Tim Keller, a theologian and an author, he says, if you seek to meet Christ in order to get your needs met, you will not meet Christ or get your needs met. But what I think he means by that is that if we're earnestly seeking God and looking for Him and wanting to know Him, not just be familiar with Him, that in that, He will do things that you need. He will provide for what you need. He will know you for who you are as you allow Him to. As we've heard before in here, you know, Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He's not going to go beyond more than what you allow Him to. When you ask Him to come into your life, He will come into your life as far as you allow Him to. And we're called to intimacy with God. We're called to know God. We don't want to be those people who are just familiar with Him and don't give God the honor that He deserves. We don't want Christ to enter our midst and go, these are a people who don't honor Me. And we might read through the Bibles and go, oh, those people are so silly. Those Israelites were so silly. How can they not love God when He's taken them and saved them from this? And they go back to their own ways and they form their own idols and they go and then they fall down and they go back to God again. It's a vicious cycle. We'd never be like that, would we? But I think it's important that coming out of the last month that we have, that we see where God wants to walk amongst us and work with us and in us through the everyday, through every part of a Sunday morning, whether it's our worship time, whether it's communion, whether it's the message, as we're praying for people, even in your conversations with people. See how God wants to work and move and allow Him to. It wasn't just a once-off. It's not just a time that we kind of go, oh, remember when we had that month of really focusing on God? That was good. No, God wants to meet us every day. He wants us to be intimate with Him. And we have to pursue Him. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, through knowing Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past sins. It's never ending. It's never ceasing. And if you think that you've reached it, you haven't. It's an ongoing process where Jesus meets with us, where we're changed and we move forward. And when we feel like we've got all those things sorted, it says to possess these qualities in increasing measure, not just a little bit. Yeah, Jesus Christ said he's come to give us life and life to the full, and a full life is when he's part of our whole life, not just a little bit of it. How am I going for time? I feel like I've gone through very quickly. It's important that we continue our pursuit in hearing God in every moment. And Jesus said to his disciples when he was speaking those parables that these people were ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but not perceiving, and these people's hearts were calloused. I think my prayer is for me and for my family and for everyone here is that we'll be like the disciples, that we would see with our eyes, we would hear with our ears, and we would understand with our hearts who Jesus Christ is, of the salvation that we have and the responsibility that we have to not just keep it to ourselves but to live it out and for others to see it in our lives so that God's glorified through it. Jesus said to the disciples at the end of that in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." I pray that we'll be a people where Jesus can say that of us. That we can be a generation who sees God for when he shows things and who hears God when he speaks things to us. And who has understanding in our hearts because we know him intimately. And I think that's a challenge for us. That's the challenge for us. How much are we continually seeking God in the everyday? How much do we want to know him and not just be familiar with him? You know, not just to put God on the shelf and take him off the shelf and dust him off because we've left him aside for so long. I think for me there's some easy ways in which we can do this, and that is to be thankful and honor God every day. It doesn't have to be a long time, but we can start small, just to take a minute every day. And I put that out to you as I was challenged by it to do that this week, that you take just a minute and do nothing else but honor God for who he is, of how great he is, how wonderful, how marvelous, how glorious, how relentless he is in our lives, and to thank him for what we have. We've probably had an interesting couple of months, Elise and myself, with what's happened in our lives. And God in his grace and mercy has saved us from a lot. And Elise, in her prayer time, was kind of going and shared with me that, you know, if we kind of feel like all this is happening to us, but God just showed her a picture of this shield and kind of said, imagine what I'm protecting you from if this is all that's affected you. I think sometimes we can get so caught up in the bad things that's happening to us that as Christians that we forget what God has saved us from and is protecting us from if we weren't in his glory and grace and in his love. So I think, you know, I invite you to do that with me this week and beyond. And as you can do that in those minutes extended out. When I was growing up, there was a kind of acronym of what, you know, how you pray, which is ACTS, which is adoration, confession. So adoration meaning just loving God for who he is and declaring God for who he is. Confession, confessing your sins. Thanksgiving, being thankful to God for what you have. The S stands for supplication, which means that's when you kind of present your requests to God and the things that you want prayer for. But I challenge you just to be with God at his feet with adoration and thanksgiving. Be with God at his feet and thank him and adore him for who he is. And as you get closer to God with that, see what difference he brings into your life. See what difference he brings into your attitudes and your mindset and the way that you see things, because you start seeing things through God's eyes, not through your own circumstance. I'm about to close, but as we do that, we've got a song to listen to. It's called Wander by Bethel Church. And in that, in this time, I encourage you to just, whether it's out loud or quietly or within yourself, just to thank God and to adore God and worship God for who he is. Now, this goes for about 6 minutes. So there's a challenge. And at the end of that, I'll pray. But let's just be thankful to God for who he is and remember of his greatness. And let's start knowing God and allowing him to infiltrate every part of our lives. Thanks, guys.
May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of the King. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. Fill us with wonder. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. 'Cause you are beautiful in all your ways, King of Kings. You are beautiful in all your ways.
shine over yourself. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. One more time. May we never lose our wonder. Oh, may we never lose our wonder. Oh, wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. You are beautiful.
Father, we ask that we would never lose the wonder of who you are, that you are an awesome, powerful, mighty God. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, pray that we would honor you for who you are. We would be expectant for you to move as the God that you are, not just in moments, but in every day, in the everyday, as we wake up, as we go to work, as we spend time with family and friends, as we gather together on Sundays, in the good times and the bad, you're a God who wants to be with us. Father, pray that we would be people who have eyes to see and understand. We would have ears to hear and perceive your wisdom, your truth. We would have hearts that are soft to receive what you have for us. Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have begun. Pray, Lord God, that as you are faithful to us in meeting us and doing incredible things amongst us, that we would be faithful to you to meet with you, that we would give you the honor that you deserve. Just praise you, Lord God, and worship you. While we've got our heads bowed and eyes closed, and wasn't planning on this, but if you've been that person who's kind of put God on the shelves and only tends to bring him out when you need something from him, would I just really feel God wants more of a relationship with you than that. And I just want to give the opportunity to, if you just want to raise your hand, be happy to pray with you afterwards, or you know, just meet with you afterwards. But if that's you, can you please put your hand up? Thank you for that. Thank you. And let's not, as a collective, forget who God is. That is the one who created the heavens and the earth, who is the beginning and the end. The one who created you and me, who knows us and knitted us together in our mother's womb. Let's honor God for who he is in our times together, in your time together with him, as you spend that minute, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. You know, he's worthy of everything we can give him. Please feel free to, I'm about to close and finish, but please feel free to sit and continue on as the song plays. But thank you for being with us this morning. There's still more food at the back, so enjoy that. But please stay for as long as you need. And
thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.